because that truth within and the truth without has been received by every person that has ever been born. Now listen carefully. Creation reveals the power of God. Creation reveals the glory of God. And creation reveals that there is a God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, we hope you're having a great day, and thank you for joining us. Pastor Bill's message today is from the Epistle of Romans. He's titled this message, Without Excuse. Let's join the study.
Amen. Let's turn this morning in our Bibles. We're doing a study completely through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 1. We just started Romans last Sunday. And, you know, Romans is one of the greatest letters, epistles, if you will, ever penned on this planet. It's what we call the Magna Carta, if you will, of the New Testament, written by Paul the Apostle. And it's good news. This morning, you know, we're going to start in verse 18, and this begins a new section in Romans, and it goes actually from verse 18 all the way to chapter 3, verse 20. These are probably the most neglected chapters in the Bible, if you will, because when you read them, it introduces an analysis, if you will, of human dilemma that's ever been found anywhere on earth. It tells the truth about man. It tells the truth about me and you and all of us. And the theme, remember, we're going to speak about the wrath of God this morning. What a great thing to do. We're baptizing, I had baby dedicated. We're going to speak on the wrath of God, huh? But that's where we are. We teach through the Bible here at Calvary. And, you know, the thing is that remember that the theme of Romans is the gospel. There in verse 16 and 17, we get the theme compounded for us where Paul writes and he says, I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he tells us why. For it, meaning the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also the Greek. For in it, meaning in the good news, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans is a book, and it's about good news. But, you know, the thing is Paul started out 17 verses, and he tells us all about the wonderful good news, how we've been saved, and whenever a person comes to Christ, how wonderful to know that God, by judicial decision, imputes the spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to our account. So we're now in Christ. We're a new creation. And when that occurs, God looks upon us as if we had never sinned. Can you believe that? Oh, come on, don't be religious. The first service was very kind to me. I hope this is not an indication here. No, listen, Romans is about the gospel, and the gospel is all about Jesus and so forth. You know, we started out here this morning, and you say, well, Bill, why do we really need to talk about the wrath of God? Because if we don't understand the wrath of God, if we don't understand the grace of God, we would not understand why we were saved or what we were saved from. Amen? So we need to learn that this morning. And when we get to verse 18, that's where we are right now. Listen carefully. This begins the courtroom of God to prove that all mankind is guilty before him. And also, as the title sermon indicates, man is without excuse beginning in verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against all unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in righteousness. Now, you say, Bill, what is the wrath, or the orge in Greek? What is the wrath of God? Well, first of all, it's not a human emotion. It's a personal emotion that belongs to God and God only. And it's his utter, complete abhorrence to sin. God hates sin. Now, listen carefully. God doesn't hate people. Are you listening to me? God loves people. God doesn't hate man. God doesn't hate any person on this planet. He doesn't hate anyone of any generation. God hates sin because sin separates us from God. It separates from the fellowship of God. God loves each and every one of you. And sin is the only thing, not people, but people's sin is the only thing that brings the wrath of God. The Bible says in John 4:8 that God is love. He is love, but he also has a wrath. Now, it's very important this morning that as we look at this, that we understand that this wrath here of God, it says, look at it now, for the wrath of God is revealed or manifested. It originates in heaven. But really, it should read like this. The wrath of God is being manifested or is being revealed or being constantly revealed here. In other words, there is a continuous wrath of God that's found in the Old Testament, believe it or not, in the New Testament, and there is the wrath of God that has continued to this very, very moment, this very hour, and it'll be here tomorrow and next week. Now, when we study the Bible, if you're a believer this morning, you know when we look back in the Old Testament, you know we know that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the wrath of God, in a sense, what happened to Adam and Eve? They sinned, they were removed from the garden, but they also died. Death. The wages of sin is death. And so that was the wrath of God being poured out. Look at the flood. Oh my gosh, the world was so evil and so wicked that God had to destroy all the people on earth except for 8 people, Noah and his family. Or think of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says that the Lord rained down fire and brimstone and destroyed those cities. That is called the wrath of God. And we're also aware of how the Bible teaches us about the wrath of God, not just past or present, but future. We call that the 69th week or the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble. We've read it in the book of Revelation. We know that at the very end, whenever this occurs, that it's going to be a terrible time on planet Earth when God pours out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. So we know then that the wrath of God is past, it's future, and it's present with us even right now. So you say, well, Bill, now the main theme of the New Testament is God's love. I agree with you totally. But you know, the truth of the matter is that God has wrath. And the mission of Jesus, whenever Jesus came, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He loves us. He loves everyone in the world. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's not talking about freeways and trees and oceans and so forth. It's talking about every race, every person, all of mankind. He sent his only son to die for us. Why? God hates sin. He hates sin. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:9, it says about our Lord, it says, much more than having been justified by his blood, meaning Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, and here's the deal. Let's be honest this morning. The church really knows, like I just quoted, John 3:16. They know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and so forth. But the church has forgotten, especially the American church, John 3:36. It reads this way. It says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. And here it is. But the wrath of God abides, dwells upon him. That's a frightening thing to me. Did you know that everyone from the fall, every person that's born right now, they're all born condemned? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that before we were saved in Ephesians 2:3, it says, by nature we were children of wrath. In other words, we weren't believers. And thank God we're saved today. If we're saved and delivered from the wrath to come and the wrath that was upon us because of our Lord. Now, the third thing I want to tell you about the wrath of God is that what is it being manifested today against? Well, it says there, if you look in your Bible, against all, number one, all ungodliness, that means sins against God, and unrighteousness, or literally the wickedness of men. That's man's sin against each other. You know, when I look out here today and I see man's inhumanity against man, I see all the horrible things that are happening. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? Is it heartbreaking to look at our nation from coast to coast? Number one, the devastation that's taking place from coast to coast. Just natural things like tornadoes and floods and all the forest fires, the terrible things that are occurring across our nation. But then one horrible killing after another for no reason. The hatred that exists is in dividing our land. Why is that? Well, it's because people like God just said, man is sinning against man. You see, you can't have a right relationship with God and then say, I don't love my brother. If you have a right relationship with God, you have to have a right relationship with man as well. You know, I look around and like they said on the news, I mean, here we are, the deadliest day for law enforcement, it said there in Dallas, since 9/11. How we need to pray for our police officers and our firemen, the people that serve and protect us. Amen? Amen. That's exactly right. We need to do those things. But when we look today, when we look at the world, I say this with no offense against our president, but I remember the day that President Obama said, he said these words. He called ISIS. He said, they're nothing but a peewee football team. I look over at my wife and I said, oh God, help us. I said, they are going to be the worst devouring locust that this world has ever seen. And that's exactly who they are. They're vicious. They don't mind. Listen, they take little children that are Christians. They've buried them alive. They've crucified them. And just recently this week, they took a Christian woman because she would not submit to them. They put her in a cage and burned her alive. That is what it means by wicked ungodliness. It means sin, man sinning against man. God says, I hate that. I hate all those things that are occurring. The fourth thing about the wrath of God is it says, those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? It means that they deliberately and knowingly reject the truth, even in the face of overwhelming evidence. I'm talking about how man is without excuse this morning when it comes to God. You say, well, Bill, how can that be? Now, listen carefully. Every person that has ever been born has been born with a built-in disposition that literally turns them away from the truth of God. Why? Well, we came from Adam, remember? In Adam, the Bible says all die. In Christ, all will be made alive. Adam's the federal head of the human race, not some bug that crawled out of the swamp, okay? Adam, all right? And because Adam sinned, we all sinned with him because he was the federal head of the human race. Now, when I say all of that, remember before you came to the Lord? People would witness you and share with you, and what did you get away from me, man? I don't need that. And I'm like, well, why? It was because you have a built-in disposition to say, I don't want anything to do with that. Why? Because of sin. Now, with all that being said, it says that they suppress the truth. That word suppress means that they would hold it down, that they would hinder it, like putting a shroud over it. But the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what truth are they talking about? I beg you to listen to me now. When we get to this area, Paul the apostle is not speaking about the truth of the gospel. This is not what these verses have anything to do with at all. He's saying here, well, first of all, it doesn't have anything to do with the gospel, because does everyone have knowledge of the gospel in the world in generations past? No. Okay, so we have that clear. It's very important that we understand here that he's talking about a general knowledge, a truth that is evident to every person that has ever been born. Look at verse 19. It says, because what may be known of God or apparent, literally, or knowable, is manifest. That word means it's been made visible, or it's been made very, very evident, or made very plain. And look where it's been made plain at. In them. Say those two words. In them. Very important, but that's not all. For God, God Almighty, the Creator, has shown it to them, or made it plain to them. Now, what does that mean? Are you ready for this? It means that every person that has ever been born has some type of revelation within their hearts that there must be a God. There must be a supreme being. That's what this is saying. Matter of fact, every person born knows. Look in your Bible at chapter 2, verse 15 with me, and I'll show you about this revelation from men that God has placed there himself. Look at it. It says in verse 15, chapter 2, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, loved one. God did that. He says, and their conscience bearing witness. What does that mean? It means that God put something in our hearts to make it very plain. So Paul is saying, apart from the revelation of written scripture, all mankind, every person that has ever been born, they know that there is a God. They know that God exists. Why? Because it's a revelation that God himself put in every person. You know, even when I didn't believe in God, I believed that there was a God. Do you understand? There had to be something that is within us. You know, I read a book many years ago about Helen Keller. Y'all remember Helen? Let me just read an excerpt from it. It says, a disease left Helen Keller as a very young girl without sight, hearing, and speech. Through Ann Sullivan's tireless and selfless efforts, Helen finally learned to communicate through touch and even learned to talk. When Miss Sullivan first tried to tell Helen about God, the girl's response was that she already knew about him. She just didn't know his name. Why? Because within every person's heart, in every nation on earth, from time beginning to this very moment, God says, I put something in every man's conscience, every woman's conscience, every person. I've written it there. God has made it so plain. Every person on earth, way in the past, from Adam all the way to this moment, they know that there is a God because their conscience tells them so. If that's not true, then God's word is not true. But God's word is true because God cannot lie. Amen? Now, so it wasn't only just a revelation within. I know there must be something. There is also a revelation from without. Look at verse 20, the revelation of God's creation, where it says, what has God shown to us? Look at very carefully. For since the creation of the world, his, meaning God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, or literally have been seen, being understood by the things that are made, meaning creation, the universe, and so forth, even his eternal power and Godhood or Godhead, that divine nature of God, so that they, meaning all men, all of us, are without what? Without excuse. God says there's no excuse. You know that I'm real. You know that there is a God. You don't need a Bible for that. That's not what he's saying. He says, God has already placed that in man. It says, for since the creation of the world, listen, the revelation that there is a God started with Adam. Adam knew about it from the very creation. Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Jacob and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and David, all the way, every generation, they know that there is a God. Listen, I remember when I was in Paris, I had the opportunity to stop into the Louvre, and I wanted to see the Mona Lisa. And I went into the room, and I saw the Mona Lisa. Well, let me ask you a question. How did the Mona Lisa get on canvas? Someone put it there. Amen? Someone created it. Listen, creation demands a creator. This world, it just didn't happen. See, God says, listen, all you have to do is look up into the universe and know that there's someone who made everything. And God says, I've made it so plain, no one can miss it. And you say, Bill, why do you say that? Because of the word there where it says clearly seen. That word clearly seen means that no person can ever say, I didn't know that there was a God. And you say, Bill, that's pretty tough. No, that's it. See, that God says the whole world is without excuse. I mean, the whole world. Why? Because that truth within and the truth without has been received by every person that has ever, ever been born. Now listen carefully. Creation reveals the power of God. Creation reveals the glory of God. And creation reveals that there is a God. You know, remember Psalm 19:1? Let me read it to you. It says, the heavens declare, that word declare, before I go on, means it speaks, it's telling, it's preaching. The heavens preach a gospel sermon to us, if you will. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, meaning the intelligent design, the things that he's done. It says, and the firmament shows his handiwork, the work of his hands. Now listen now. Day unto day utters speech, and then at night, unto night, it reveals, makes manifest, makes plain, makes evident knowledge, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What a word from God. All day long, night or day, the universe, the things that are up there, they're constantly speaking. They're constantly preaching that there is a God. So man is without excuse. You see, our planet, this solar system, this world, this universe, we're not some cosmic accident. Amen? There's no way. It's absolutely crazy. Listen to Isaiah 40:26, where Isaiah says, "Lift up your eyes on high," here it comes, "and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number," meaning all of the stars, "who calls them all by name, by greatness of his might, strength of his power. Not one is missing." Tonight, if you have the opportunity, step outside. Look up. They're preaching to you. They're saying that God is real, that God is alive. Amen? That's what it's all about. It shouts to man. Now listen, it's very important that you understand what Paul is saying. He's not saying you need a Bible here. He's saying, no, this is before the Bible. If you've never even heard of Jesus, if you've never heard of God, God says, creation is speaking to you. You know, when you look, don't you love nature? I mean, I'm a sunset, sunrise type of guy. I love that stuff. You know, last night when the storm blew in and the rain came, it didn't come on me, though, but it came probably on some of you because God sends rain on the just and the unjust, and I didn't get any. But all the clouds, and then the temperature dropped to 73 degrees. Man, I was outside like a wild man. Oh, this is good, Lord. Yeah, you know, and all those things. But it's just, look at everything. Listen, why does the sunflower follow the sun? Why is that? I remember when I was leaving for Mexico not too long ago, there's a strip right before we get into Mexico there, about maybe 20 miles long on the highway, solid sunflowers. Well, it was early in the morning. The sun was to my left. The sunflowers to my right. Is that right? That's okay. You know what I mean? And what were they doing? They were facing the sun. All of them. It was so beautiful. It was breathtaking, man. Did that just happen? Is that a coincidence? Is that chance? No, God made them that way. They follow the sun because of their little leaves, if you really want to know the truth, on the outside. But I'm not going to get into that because I don't have time. You don't need a scientific explanation, do you? The first service did, but, you know, they're the smart bunch. We're not, all right? No. You know I'm teasing. I love you. I love you. Don't do that. Or how about the changing of the seasons? Or look at the rivers. You know, I remember when I was in college and we studied, I don't know if it's geology, I don't know what class it was now, it's because I'm only 50, right? So it was back before there was school, yeah. And I'll never forget my teacher. He said, rivers are alive. He said, oceans are alive. He said, there's commotion in the ocean. I said, that's deep. You graduated from Harvard, man. All right. You know? And you know, but a river, you know, have you ever seen the winding rivers? Do you know why they're winding? Because rivers have a life of their own. They have a mind of their own. If they're going too fast, they'll go against the side to slow the water down. That's really the truth. That's why you have oxbow lakes. But never mind. I'm talking about creation, guys. September, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside and keep your eyes looking straight up. Becky and I, last year, we were outside, and you know how you have cots, you just lay around talking, you know, and there we were, and it was about, I don't know, 10 o'clock or something, and we were talking, and she was looking up, and I was just trying to sleep or something. And she said, "Look." And I said, "What is it?" She said, "Go get the binoculars." I went and got the binoculars. Listen to me now. There were hundreds of thousands of the raptor family, you know, raptors, you know, meaning the hawks and the eagles and the ospreys and the falcons, hundreds of thousands of them in a line, I mean, coming across right over our house. I mean, all these different birds, and you had to have the binoculars to see them all, and they were all different. And there they were going, I don't know where they were going, but they were going someplace. Well, this is going to happen again in September. Well, how do they know to do that? That's God. God's created all these things. Listen, creation shouts to man. Look at verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, because of all the truths about creation and within their conscience and all of that, he says, although they knew God, that's not speaking that they were born again or they had salvation. It says, although that they knew God, they had a visible knowledge that there was a creator. Because of the creation, because of the conscience within them, they knew enough about God to know that they should glorify him. But what did they do? What does man do? They did not glorify him as God. They did not honor him as God. They did not give God his rightful place, just like I didn't give God his rightful place when I was lost.
Now, you won't want to miss the conclusion to this message, So be sure and join us tomorrow. And in the meantime, we pray that you have an awesome day. Thanks everyone for spending this time with us, and so long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.